We are Two Guys Gaming. As always, even though we are under the Two Generations Gaming banner, this is one guy reading. Whether you're a mentor or not, you found Noob's Book Club. I'm Sean, noob of all trades from Two Generations Gaming, and in this series I am reading and reacting to Ready Player One, the novel by Ernest Cline. I'm coming to you only 2 days after my last episode. This is news because for the last 2 weeks I've only been releasing one episode because of various things going on in my life, such as graduation and soccer ending. My mother came to visit last week for graduation, so I got a bit behind, but I'm on schedule now, and hopefully I can stay on schedule until the 21st of June when I finish up this series a week before we go to Germany. And then I said when I come back, there's going to be a few weeks, probably a month, that I'll have to fill in before the next Dragonlance book, which I plan on reading in the next installment of this series. In this episode, I'm going to read and react to chapter 26 and 27, because that brings us to the end of level 2 and the beginning of level 3, which I will cover the next 3 chapters of that over the weekend, either Saturday or Sunday, whenever I get around to it. Chapter 26. After Shoto leaves, Wade stares at the jade key and continually recites the clue. He then alternates between the K and the wrapper. After hours of this, still nothing. He puts the key away and focuses on the wrapper. Square, 6 inches, silver foil on one side, and dull white on the other. Using image analysis, he makes a high-res scan of both sides. No markings or writing anywhere. Eating corn chips, he uses voice commands to control the software. He makes a move to demagnify and center the image. This reminds him of a scene in Blade Runner. Never seeing Blade Runner, I have to take his word for it. He sees the sheet in a different light, considers folding it into an airplane, thinks about origami, and that triggers another memory of Blade Runner. The unicorn. As soon as he says the word, the paper folds itself into an origami unicorn. Wade fires up the Vonnegut and takes off to find a place to take the test that is mentioned in the movie. He knows exactly which test they mean now. Blade Runner tells the story of a future cop who hunts replicants, apparently genetically engineered beings that are close to human. Perhaps that all makes sense in the context of the movie. That's neither here nor there. Apparently, the movie features a test, parenthetically the Voight Kampff, similar to a polygraph, to find these replicants. The tests exist in the movie only in the Tyrell building, the company that makes the replicants. As luck would have it, the Tyrell building exists all over the Oasis. GSS included it as a template available to anyone. So many who built their own worlds took advantage of it and included it several times. Basically, it's like in SimCity where you just point, click, and click a couple of times and it opens up this particular building. Wade beelines it for the closest world with such a copy. He then goes straight for the first copy of the building he sees. He parks the Vonnegut in cloaked mode, activates all the security, pulls up a map of the building. He punches in the default code to the ceiling elevator. Bingo! Riding that elevator down to the 440th floor, he knows he needs to ice some NPC guards along the way. He likens the firefight to something out of a John Woo movie. I think more along the lines of Devil May Cry, because he never runs out of ammo. As you'll remember in that game if you ever played it, that was one of the selling points, is that Dante just never ran out of ammo with the basic pistols. He makes it into the office and sees the device on the table. It activates and goes through the motions, but little else happens until he produces the jade key. Then a panel slides open with a keyhole, and he puts the key in and turns it. The device disappears, and the gate opens. The gate takes him back to Middletown Lanes and the game room. This time, upon entering, a game opens a vortex in the screen and swallows everything, including him. That game, he describes it as Black Tiger, Capcom, 1987. Never having heard of the game, I appreciated the history lesson that he gives. Wade finds himself in a 3D recreation of the game. Holiday mentions it as one of his favorite games. He could escape family drama for 3 hours on a single quarter and beat the game. Wade practiced until he could do the same. He does, even on this version, and gets rewarded with the chance to choose a quote-unquote giant robot like the Iron Giant and Gundam Bots. He takes one from the Spider-Man series, a Japanese version of Spider-Man. It's Seems to only be a trophy as far as he can see. He watches the credits of the game. Halliday at the end as the port programmer. Then, a familiar image, a red circle with a star in the middle. Shortly after, the crystal key materializes over the image. Chapter 27. In fact, it took him 3 hours to complete the gate. When back, the security is gone and the coast is clear. His ship remains where he left it. Everything is coming up now, house baby. He knows the star image from the Rush album 2112. Halliday's favorite band from his teenage years. That led Wade to find every bit of Rush paraphernalia that he could find. 2112 is a concept album that tells the story of a rebel musician in a future where creativity is outlawed. The title track is a 7-part, 20-minute opus telling his story. The key part is, "We are the priests of the temples of Syrinx. Our great computers fill the hallowed halls. We are the priests of the temples of Syrinx. All the gifts of life are held within our walls." He knows of a planet in Sector 21 called Syrinx. While he goes there, he tells some of the story laid out in the liner notes of the record. He finds the planet as he expects and makes his way slowly to the temple. It sits empty. Even though he knows it's ridiculous, he tries the robot. No dice, of course. He then remembers something else from the liner notes that helps him. Like any good video game quest, he needs to find the secret behind the waterfall. In the cave, he finds a stalagmite and tries everything. Finally, it gives as if a lever. Rumble! Trapdoor opens in the floor and one in the ceiling, illuminating the floor. After checking for traps, he jumps through the trapdoor. Down there, in the stone, a 1974 Gibson Les Paul guitar. He pulls the guitar free. Kleinboth understands the DNA of the Excalibur reference while poking fun at it. Wade prepares to return to the altar to place the guitar. Instead, he tries something before. He plays the song Discovery, which led him here. As he does, another clue appears in the stone. The first was ringed in red metal, the second in green stone. The third is clear as crystal and cannot be unlocked alone. Wade goes through the routine of placing the guitar. He gets a boost of 25 and another 200,000 and back into first place over Sorrento. The altar leads him to Castle Anorak on Chthonia, the name of the campaign setting from Halliday and his friends. Parenthetically, the Sixers are already there. They pulled the old trick of a dome, parenthetically really a sphere, of energy, shutting off the castle and gate. Nothing gets past or breaks it. Everyone has given up. Not Wade. Fuck it, he says, and gives his allies the way to get to the third gate. The end game is on. And now for my reaction. In my infinite wisdom, I never planned nor read ahead to see how the book broke down the levels or the acts. And so, it is that we arrive at this episode with only 2 chapters. In addition, I panicked some because initially I found no arching theme to connect the 2 chapters. What I settled on, as it happens, came to me last episode as well. So it marinated for a bit. Hopefully I do it proper justice. First, as always, let me ramble on something else, possibly related, but probably not. As I write this, I'm watching Aiden play soccer and listening to Marin. He's interviewing Anthony Ramos, but I concentrated on the introduction. He talked about getting sucked into the algorithm. I think we can all relate. Well, his current raison d'algorithm, he says, is quote-unquote animal videos. Animals cuddling with other animals. Humans interacting with animals. The whole shebang. He says what a sucker he is for these videos, and how he finds himself crying while watching them. Just such an expression of pure joy brings him to tears. Early in the intro, he talks about a joke he started telling, where you leave a suicide note that simply says, quote-unquote, "Why wait?" Turns out the creator of Kodak and the founder left just such a note, so he thinks that he needs to rework the joke. He then goes on to discuss his suicidal ideation and the comfort it brings. Those who know, as they say, know. I don't know if I brought this up on this show, but in my recent growth, one of the first things I realized is that not everyone has passing thoughts like, quote, "Why don't I just ride my car into that river over there?" He brings it all back by answering the quote-unquote, "Why wait?" with that. You wait to have the opportunity to experience that love and joy that makes you spontaneously cry. Why wait? Well, as he talked, I watched Aiden and his team warm up. People walk, and I thought how wonderful everything all felt. Then I got a thought that I often get lately. How did we fuck this up so badly? Why do we focus so much on dumb shit like race or sexuality and fight about it? Why can't it all just be fun and beautiful all the time? Fuck off, hippie. Yeah, okay. Moving on. I watched every single one of Aiden's games during the season. His team went from an absolute disaster in the first game to one of the best teams in the region. Well, during the early days of the team coming together, he still suffered from his bad habit of blaming himself for goals. I kept telling him, if the ball gets to you, that means that 10 other people failed in front of you. I mean, with the SportsCenter slash TikTokization of sports, parenthetically, and soccer specifically, you only see the great saves because they look and are spectacular. They are also rare. That's why they're news. Man bites dog and all that. But the truth of soccer and any goalie sport is that you are supposed to be bored enough to be able to guide the action on the field. I have to say that I'm proud of the construction of this episode. Everything just flows and I set up this transition perfectly. I'm sending this one as a consideration for a potty award. Now, I hope I stick the landing. Likewise, the main character Gunters consider themselves separate entities. They believed in rugged individualism. But that only got them so far. And you could argue that it didn't even get them very far at all. Wade gave H a huge hint on the tomb and helped Artemis with Joust. H returned the favor by dropping Zork in Wade's lap. Shoto and Daito helped Wade clear the Ultraman quests and vice versa. So, any claims of bootstrapping, parenthetically, as usual, is bullshit. I mean, I guess I'll make the concession that, quote-unquote, single Gunters ultimately succeeded where the teams failed, but they still needed one another to stay ahead of the might of the IOI conglomerate. Wade finally puts his ego to the side and sends out a peace offering to the others and hopes that it sparks them to join him and work together. Hell, Halliday and Klein essentially demand it by spelling out that the last gate can't be cleared alone. You must cooperate. You must work together. You must utilize the strengths of your community if you ever hope to succeed. The myth of rugged individualism is one of the most toxic gaslights that our society perpetuates. Nobody, and I mean nobody, does it alone. I don't care how many of these star fucking billionaire worshipping movies and TV shows they make, even those guys had help. And if they didn't, then they mercilessly exploited the people around them to build their empire and fortune. You'll never be a billionaire. And if you are, it'll be due to a lot of luck and help or exploitation on your part. Believe the saying that you are closer to being homeless than a billionaire. Look at your neighbor who is in the same situation and help each other out. Fuck you, commie. Fuck me? Hell no. I stuck that landing and there's more coming next episode. Get ready. And on that note, thanks for listening. You can find us if you haven't already at www.twoguysgaming.net. We have articles, a link to our socials, including our YouTube, in which the daily RPG calendar is once again daily. I will be back this weekend with the next episode. I will talk to you then. Bye, guys.
We are Two Guys Gaming.